Welcome to another Carlin Lode Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Isn't it about time we got someone, an athlete from that's been overseas on the show?
A real athlete who's been overseas?
Someone that's maybe thrown a hammer or thrown a javelin or something like that?
Probably someone who's thrown a javelin and survived COVID in America.
Wow. What about that Alex Stimson?
Do you think he's available?
Alec, are you available?
Yeah, I've got plenty of time on my hands at the moment.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, no, you're more than welcome, mate, more than welcome. Just off the cap, the fact is that you've got two siblings, so there are three of you, and you've all done very well here at Trinity College. You've all been to college in America. What are the odds?
Yeah, well, I guess they're 100% in our family. But no, it's we all saw our older brother Declan do it. He was 3 years ahead of me, and he loved his time over there.
And he was soccer.
He was a soccer, yeah. So he went on an academic and soccer scholarship. And the balance of life between study and sports and then play as well. So it was something that me, 3 years younger, thought, oh, well, that looks pretty cool. And being more into track and field, the options, I guess, were getting kind of limited with my training and stuff when I was coming out of school, because my coach, Richard Bednall, was sort of backing off at the time. So having that whole training and university degree go together pretty well was something that's pretty attractive. And then my younger sister Isabel thought, well, she didn't want to miss out either, so she's over there studying mathematics and teaching. So yes, we've all gone now, and I'm back. Declan's still over there working, and Isabel's got 2 years left on her studies.
So you obviously talked then about Richard Bednall, who's a great athletic coach, obviously had a massive influence on Trinity College and javelin throwing. I mean, you did play a lot of other – you were very good at other sports as well. So tell us a bit about your pre-college sporting career here in Adelaide.
Yeah, so, pretty much played everything under the sun. Mum and Dad really wanted us to be as busy as possible, so keep ourselves out of trouble. Played a lot of cricket for Northern Districts and then Trinity College as well, obviously. Football, I always played for the school and went through to the first 18. Soccer, bounced around from a few different clubs from Gawler to Modbury and Playford, but then played soccer all the way through here at Trinity as well, ended up in the first 11. They were sort of my main sports, and then track and field sort of, I started taking that a little more seriously once I turned about 14, 15. I did little athletics from when I could remember, as far as I can think back. Started doing all right in that around the age of 14, 15, thought, all right, we'll give this a bit more of a crack, and ended up at a couple of national championships and competing there. And yeah, Mr. Bednall was a huge asset to have, as not only as a bit of a family friend, but someone here in Gawler that could take me under his wing and tell me what he knows. So, he was great.
Now with the athletics, I can understand going to athletics, but what I find a little bit hard is javelin. Why the javelin? Who influenced you to throw the javelin, and what is it that sort of attracted you to that particular sport?
Yeah, so yeah, it's a very different one, especially here in South Australia where, wasn't coming against too much competition. In cricket, I always had a pretty good arm, throwing in from the boundary and whatnot, and always quick in around the stumps, was always fast. I was always about under 11s was when we could start throwing javelin at little athletics. So I always look forward to that coming about. And as I got older, I sort of went, all right, well, I've actually got a little bit of talent for this. So we'll try and put some work into it and see where we end up. So I got to around the age of 14, 15, and that's when, all right, that this could be more my sport than anything else. So, yeah.
Now, we've got a lot of kids at school who want to go to college in America. Can you just sort of give us a brief outline of how you got there, like all the different things you had to do to get into American college? Because it's one thing to get into uni here, but to actually be overseas is a completely different thing. So what did you have to do to get there?
Yeah, so I went about it a bit different to my brother. So he went through a recruiting agency for his soccer, and so he had games filmed and all that sort of thing, and the agency was the one that was reaching out to coaches. For me, I was just a number. I threw this far, these were my grades, so it was all pretty easy to translate that just in an email. And I sent that out to probably about 50 to 70 schools in the US. My dad and I just went through a list of the schools that were popping up at the national championships in the javelin event, both across Division One and Division Two, emailed all of them, replied back when I got a reply, got really excited when that did happen. And yeah, Shippensburg University in Pennsylvania there. They replied back when I was studying for my year 12 exams, and that sort of started my recruiting process. And just in the new year after I finished year 12, I was pretty much confirmed going to Shippensburg. So yeah, a lot of time on Gmail sending stuff out on top of my year 12 studies. But yeah, you need to put in the time and effort in order to find the right place, and then research the places that you are reaching out to that they would be a good fit for you academically, athletically, and then socially as well. So SHIP was a good match for all of those.
Now, with your javelin throwing, have you got any state records that you still hold, and what are your PBs going through the age groups?
Yeah, so I think the only state record I got was in the little athletics, but I think my teammate, well, one of my training partners, who was about 2 years younger, nabbed that off me a couple of years later. So, yeah, I was always – so I guess when I started competing seriously, I was throwing the 700-gram implement. At the open level, you throw an 800-gram. So by the age of – what was I? About 16, I got up to around 57 meters with the 700. And at that same age, you start throwing the 800. And I guess at the early national competitions, when I'd compete up a couple age group in the under 20s, I was throwing around those low 50 marks. By the time I finished and before I went to the States, I was throwing 66 with the 700 gram and 60 with the 800, which is kind of ironic because Mr. Bednar would always say there's a 6 meter difference between the 100 grams and the implement. So I hit it right on for him.
What is the, like, looking back now, you've come back home, you've finished, you've got your degree. What were some of the really the great things about being over in America and being in the college system there that people may not, I mean, we know about your sport, we know you're going to compete, and we know that there's great competition, but what are some of the other things that you sort of really will remember for a long time?
Yeah, so I guess like the hardest part about deciding to come home was leaving your group of mates and mentors and stuff that you'd made over there. My coach, Kurt Dunkel, was also a staff member at the university. So I was talking to him as much as I could. And he was not only a great mentor from the get-go, but then also a great friend by the end of it as well. So leaving someone like him, although you can still stay in touch, was tough. And then you combine that with the type of team aspect that track and field has over there. It's very different to here, where, and a lot of people who don't do athletics would see it as a very individual and isolating sport at times. But over there, it was, yeah, it's crazy, this type of team spirit, I guess, and bond that you have with your teammates, especially the guys that do the similar events to you, guys and girls that do the similar events to you. So the hammer, the shot put, the discus and the javelin, they were all together and would have similar sort of training sessions and training times. So we'd spend a lot of time, a lot of time together, over 10 training sessions a week. So around 20 hours a week, you're constantly spending with these people, working out and working on your craft. And then aside of that, they're your support base for getting through your classes and whatever else is going on in your life. So leaving them was really tough, but it means I've got some great friends on the east coast of the US and won't have to pay for a hotel ever, so that's kind of nice.
So when you're over there, do you feel like you're just part of the gang, or does your Aussie culture sort of shine out? Are you known, have you got nicknames about Aussie, yeah, Aussie, Aussie, or anything like that?
Yeah, well, I did stick out a little bit. Shippensburg didn't have a huge international base, student population, I guess. And I was the only international on the track and field team there as well. So yeah, I stuck out a bit once I opened my mouth. And yeah, I was called Aussie for a long time and the mate, because that's obviously what I was calling them. But no, it was great to sort of get their perspective on life by being around them all the time and living there. But I felt like I was able to show them a little bit what Australia's like. And I know there's a couple that have already saved up to come out here, and a couple have already come out previously before COVID and stuff. So, yeah, I've got some great mates there, and I think the Aussie side rubbed off on them a little bit. I've got them all a pair of budgie smugglers before I left. So not that you can really see them on a couple of the big boys, but that's all right.
Well, you know, the funny thing is that even though you are an Aussie competing, yeah, in America, you actually made an All-American team. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so these are all American things. They're just a way of recognition, a bit of recognition. So there's the actual All-American, which is just based off your athletic ability. So that's you finishing in the top eight at the national championships for track and field. That wasn't me. I got one of the academic All-American teams. So that means my grades were at a certain level. And then combine that with my athletic ability. So based on how my season was, I was a little bit surprised that I got the national recognition because I didn't think I was throwing far enough. But because I finished second at my conference meet in the javelin throw, that definitely helped me fulfill the criteria to be an academic All-American, which was a really nice cherry on top.
It is a great achievement. The difference between athletics here is a minor sport. And I know in America it's not the biggest sport, but you know, like I jumped on the website, the Shippensburg website, and there's this lovely picture of you with a mustache. And I know that there was a big like poster. I saw you standing, I think you were standing in front of that one of your photos in Facebook. Like that was, so it's just a different world, isn't it, when it comes to promotion of sport? Would you agree with that? And like, what did you experience with that sort of stuff?
Yeah, big time. At the university, which isn't a massive one that creates all this revenue like these big D1 schools do, they still have a really, well, hardworking sports information team that promote what the teams are doing, and that's across all 22 teams that Shippensburg had. What you're referring to there is they redid a whole lot of branding around the university the time I was there, and they put some big posters of some of their athletes on the back of the stadium.
Big, like, come on, let people know, how big are we talking?
I definitely couldn't fit at home in my suitcase. I probably couldn't throw the length of it, to be honest. It was a little oversized. The head coach sort of had to pick from a couple when he went, oh, this will be funny. He'll enjoy this. So, yeah, it is what it is, I guess. So, you know, technically always there, I guess.
I remember once I was walking up to Starplex and I thought it was Sean was plastered on the wall, but it was actually Sean. He's that big.
Yeah, it might.
What did you laugh at that for? What are you laughing at that joke?
It might have been the size of Mr. Carr. I don't know. Yeah.
Mr. Carr.
All right, just what about COVID-19? What type of effect did it have with your schoolwork and your training and your socializing in the USA? Obviously, it was it would have put a real kimp on things. It would have been hard.
It was crazy time. So going back March last year, we were on our spring break. I stayed around the university to keep training and using their facility there. And Thursday morning, I remember going in having a lift with the coach, and hearing that some of the other other universities had closed down their athletic programs for the rest of the year. And then the next day I was out throwing, and the NCAA put out a news report saying that they're cancelling all the sports for the rest of the year. So that was really tough because we were only 9 days away from competing. And our season's quite short. It only goes from about mid-March to the middle of May. So you spend a lot of your time training and not a lot of time competing. So that was a real big setback, a bit tough to swallow there for a while. That school year finished up online, and we finished up in May, all being online. And very few people were left in the town of Shippensburg, because obviously a lot of people move there and live there for the school year and then go back home. So I had about one training partner that I worked with throughout that whole break. He was a hammer and shot putter, discus thrower. And I worked with him every day doing random workouts because the gyms were closed. We got a big tractor tire and a sledgehammer, and we're just having fun on the football field trying to makeshift workouts. And throughout the summer, the gyms were still closed, and there still weren't many of us left in the town. So I was meeting up with him every day, and we acquired some weights, a barbell and a couple bumper plates, and we started lifting in his backyard, set up a makeshift squat rack, which was two VESA blocks with a cabinet door on its side, and then two bar stools stacked on top of each other and some foam pads. So that set up on either side, that was our squat rack. Yeah, it was. There were some crazy days there. We were asking for a death wish sometimes, but a lot of long days with old mate Cam in his backyard, trying to get through the summer and trying to improve for that season that was hopefully going to happen this past year.
So you're back now. What's the immediate future hold for you, like sporting wise and work wise?
Yeah, so sporting wise, I'm going to take a bit of a break from javelin throwing itself. I mean, I love the sport and I feel like I know a ton about it now. But I was just getting too many injuries. My elbow that I had surgery on back in 2017, 2018, that was starting to flare up a little bit by the end of it. And then I just kept getting a lot of soft tissue injuries this past year. So thinking I'll just back off for a little bit. So at the moment, I got back just in time to get a couple games in with the Trinity College Old Scholars and play some footy with some old schoolmates, which has been awesome. We got a final series starting up in a couple of weeks, which I'm really excited about participating in. So, yeah, coming back and just really enjoying sport and that team atmosphere as well something that I was looking forward to coming back to.
Well, thank you very much, Alec. I'd love to have you on again. You tell a good story about your adventures over in USA, and I'd love to hear a lot more. So ends another Cut Unlaid Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.